What's up, fantasy baseball listeners? Time to talk about what we saw on Wednesday night. Adam Azer here with Scott White, Melchior.
That's me.
We're all present and accounted for. Today on the show, a great name that you might not know about who's currently playing Major League Baseball. John Lucroy is injured. Jay Happ was great again. Vidal Nuno was awesome. Matt Carpenter, interesting note on him. I'm going to look at what's going on over the last 28 days around baseball. And PFS, we have time. Go to FanDuel.com and sign up. We should have time.
Don't say why. There's not. Always time for DFS.
We'll make time.
It's like Jell-O. Always room for DFS.
Exactly. Yeah. I was trying to think of what dessert it was. Jell-O, there you go.
Oh, there's always room for Jell-O, as Peter Venkman once said. In Ghostbusters 2, a great movie. So here's, before we get started, everybody's favorite game, Name That Player! Okay,
whoa.
Thanks for the excitement there. Thanks for backing me up on that.
Well, we're not in front of a live studio audience.
That would be weird. Alright, here we go. Ready? Since the All-Star break, we do this in the first person here. I do this in the first person. Since the All-Star break, I am batting .314 with a .365 on base. And a .503 slugging percentage, 7 home runs, 14 walks, and 18 strikeouts. So very good since the All-Star break.
Francisco Lindor.
You are incorrect.
Ah.
Over the last 28 days, I am the number 3 second baseman in points leagues, number 7 second baseman in rotisserie leagues.
You are Yan-Hervis Solarte.
Al Melchior. Take a bow. Well done. That's very good. Good for you. I had some really hard clues, like I am part Gomes, part Jorge. So like Yan Gomes and Jorge Soler. And then I was going to say, what might your body do if you're tired? And then you would have said Yan, and then you might have gotten Yan. It's a tough one.
But I'm glad I got it before those clues.
Yeah, that would have just thrown us off.
I'm surprised. So anyway, Solarte, it's going on for quite some time now. He's playing very well.
Well, yeah, and I think it was just the last time I was on 2 days ago where I was saying he's kind of a poor man's Matt Duffy, right? And maybe poor man's isn't even the best way to describe it. He's just Matt Duffy, but without the ownership.
He's the unowned Matt Duffy?
Yeah.
Well,
that's kind of what I feel like, yeah.
So that's a guy that's worth starting or no?
Well, Matt Duffy is, right?
Yeah, he has been, sure. So,
there you go.
All right, there it is. Name of the day. Arizona outfielder Socrates Brito.
Socrates.
So great. So cool. Socrates Brito. He's not fantasy relevant, is he?
Not this year. I actually thought about picking him up in our score sheet league that we just had our supplemental draft in, but didn't pull the trigger. So
24 team extended keeper league, put that into context.
So yeah, speedy guy with contact skills.
He aspires to be Ender and Ciarte, but they already have one of those.
Okay, well, he would be great for team names, so we'll root for him.
Well, you know, we're not the only ones to think that he's got a cool name.
Oh no.
Because, you know, Baseball Prospectus, they do the weekly hit list where it's kind of like a power rankings, and then they have a comment about the team.
Okay.
And this week's for the Diamondbacks, it says, congratulations to Socrates Brito for recording his first major league hit, mostly through a series of questions and answers between the pitcher and himself.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Time for the big news. Let's go around the diamond and around the league. Matt Harvey might make 2 more regular season starts. And Jacob DeGrom could have a start skipped. Kind of interesting, you know, when we look at pitchers and whether or not they're tiring. Sometimes you just look at velocity. There's not much else we can really go by. But Terry Collins talked about how DeGrom had been elevating his pitches a little bit more, and that might be fatigue. Also, Chris asked if he had pitched 200 innings. He has not. Last year,
I think he had about 175 last year, which means he's equipped to go 200 this year, but it's still uncharted territory for him.
I've gotten 2 different answers on 2 different days. So here on the third day, drop Matt Harvey, yes or no?
No. If he has any regular season starts remaining, you don't drop him.
Agreed.
Okay. Ryan Zimmerman could miss a lot of time with an oblique injury, according to MLB.com. Did we talk about that?
Who said no yesterday?
Two days ago.
You said yes yesterday.
You said no yesterday. 2 days ago, Al and Chris, because we both thought going into this week that Harvey was going to make one more start and then that's it. Shut down until maybe the last week of the season.
In that scenario.
Right. Things have changed.
Basically, pick any scenario for Harvey and you could be right. So you're probably holding on to him. I hope nobody dropped him.
I think we had the Zimmerman news yesterday, so he's, you know, dealing with the oblique. Jonathan Lucroy, mild concussion. Craig Counsell says Lucroy could be back in a few days. We'll keep our fingers crossed. Matt Latos was scratched from last night's start with a stiff neck. Brett Gardner pinch hit yesterday. He might be out of the lineup today with a lefty on the mound. Nick Hundley out at least three games with a neck strain. Edwin Encarnacion set a Toronto record by reaching base in his 39th consecutive game. Did I hear somebody want to chime in about Nick Hundley?
Yeah, that was me. Wow, you have supersonic hearing.
I heard the...
Yeah, I just wanted to point out the very fantasy-relevant fact that with Hundley out, the Rockies have been trotting out a lineup that has both Justin Morneau and Dustin Garneau.
Yes. Yes, I saw that. And Garneau homered yesterday, and I was like, oh, Morneau homered. And I was like, what?
Yeah, I had a similar reaction.
Garneau, does he matter?
No.
Yeah, I'll think Hundley will be out long enough for him to matter.
Pablo Sandoval left last night's game with back tightness. Alex Gordon, not necessarily fantasy relevant, but kind of interesting because if you know him for one thing, it might be his defense. He's still being replaced late in games for defense. So I guess he's not 100%. Joe Panik left last night's game with lower back pain. That's no good. Did you guys see Joey Votto's meltdown?
I actually did not. I read about it, but I haven't seen the video yet.
So, I'm hating that I slipped my mind until now.
It's worth it.
I'm going to watch it right now.
He's going to get
you're going to hear my live reaction.
Ooh, that'll be fun. All right, you let us know when you're ready. Adam Jones was out again. Nolan Reimold led off, scored three runs for the Orioles. Maybe in daily leagues, relevant. Buster Posey day-to-day with an ankle injury. He pinch hit yesterday. Wellington Castillo was available to pinch hit. He has a sore wrist. And Zach Godley, you saw that nice start for him yesterday. He's being moved to the bullpen, so you don't have to worry about him. Scott, are you ready?
Oh, I'm watching it. Right now the conversation's pretty calm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is like a 3.5 minute clip.
Nah, don't worry about it. It's only about 30 seconds of craziness.
All right, hang on.
Tell us what's happening.
Keep going. Keep going. Okay, hang on a second. Here we go. All right. Everything's calm. Votto's pointing to the... He slammed his helmet! And now he's pointing down at the ground emphatically.
Yeah.
Now they're pointing to each other's mouths.
Oh, just wait. Did he throw him out yet?
Oh, yeah, he's been thrown out.
Okay.
That's what inspired helmet getting slammed.
They're like 10 people that have to hold him back now.
Oh, yeah, it's like two umpires and a coach and... Man, he's angry.
Yeah, it's no good.
That is a mad man.
And fantasy owners are going to be unhappy because he's going to get suspended for that. I don't know if it'll be more than one or two games, but I would think he's going to get suspended, wouldn't you?
I would think so.
Yeah I'd suspend him.
I would too. 20 games. Deflating baseballs and screaming at umpires.
Chill
Wednesday's standouts. All right, who stood out to you guys yesterday?
Sorry, I've got some notes, and they're just not handy, but now they are. Okay, you know who stood out to me? Julio Teheran.
Yeah.
Say what?
Yes, Julio Teheran. Good again. And now over the course of August and September, that's 8 starts, 7 of them quality, a 3.58 ERA that is weighed down by the one non-quality start that was horrible.
Mm.
But so I went and looked because it's really been a big departure from pre-August Teheran to what he's done since. I don't really see any difference other than the results are better.
A lot of home games, though, I think, right?
No, pretty evenly split. In fact, in those eight, they're exactly evenly split.
Okay.
In those eight games, the one bad one was a home game.
Yeah. So he's got two road starts next week. That's... Like the one thing that gives me, I think he has. I'll look it up 1 second.
So the four road starts during the stretch, all very good.
Oh, he has two home starts next week, Toronto and Philadelphia.
When he was in the midst of it, I said, I'm not really buying the home road thing. It's just the peripherals don't look that great anywhere. And the only really meaningful difference I could find between bad Tehran and good Tehran was the BABIP.
Yeah.
And the BABIP was close to normal when he was bad, and it's well below normal, lower than normal, when he's been good.
So you're taking it as a bad thing that nothing else.
Right. I'm saying, yeah, I'm not really fooled by the results. And you'd think.
Because I feel like when he was bad, we were like, well, there's really no explanation for why he's bad. Eventually he's going to be good again, and then he's become good again. But you're saying you're.
I'm saying that I believe more in the bad Tehran than the good Tehran, because both versions don't have the greatest control. He's still been giving up extra base hits.
I'm starting him.
It's interesting.
Yeah, my stamp of approval.
You know,
starting Tehran 2-star week at home.
But in this specific 2-star week, like I own him in a daily league. I just picked him up actually after last night. I am going to sit him against Toronto and start him against Philadelphia.
So
in a 2-star week, I don't know that I would take the chance with Tehran against Toronto. Ooh, Toronto.
Yeah. I think that's a distinction I would make, because I think with 2 starts, all things being equal, even though he hasn't been good, I think he's probably good enough to use with two starts. But if one of those is risky, I'm scared off.
All right, Scott, standouts for you?
Well, I think the biggest. I actually led the waiver wire column with him today. Is Jay Happ, 10 strikeouts, and that's actually after a 9 strikeout game and 3 hits, 0 walks in each of them. And kind of an isolated 2-start stretch, but he's been overall good since joining the Pirates. And I don't really feel like there's a good enough reason to buy into it, because he hasn't been mixed league, somebody you could trust in mixed league since his rookie season way back in 2009. But the fact he's with the Pirates, and of course their pitching coach Ray Searidge is like the miracle worker in that role right now, the perceived one anyway, and look, he has a great track record with guys like AJ Burnett, Francisco Liriano, Edinson Volquez. So I think the kind of run Hap's on now, the fact that maybe it has something to do with the team that acquired him and the coaching he's getting now, and the fact that assuming when AJ Burnett starts this weekend, the Pirates go back down to a 5-man rotation, kicking Jeff Locke out as opposed to sticking with a 6-man rotation, Hap's going to be in line for 2 starts next week. Unless it was a scenario where I'm looking to protect my ERA and WHIP in a roto league, I think I'd like to start him next week.
Well, what if it's a 1-start week against the Cubs, who are the only team?
If it is, we don't know yet because we don't know.
Right, that's what I said.
In or out.
If it is a 1-start week against the Cubs, they're the only team that has done well against Hap since he came to Pittsburgh. It was his first start; they beat him up, and then since then he has a 1 ERA in 6 starts with a strikeout per inning. If it's just 1 start against the Cubs, is Jay Happ a start for you? He is 53% owned.
Not for me, no,
and not for me either, and. Before we move on, one of the 2 runs that he gave up was a solo shot to Todd Frazier.
Who?
So, did you say who?
Yeah, who?
Yeah. he plays a little third base for the Reds.
Yeah, something like that.
He'll play first base when Joey Votto's suspended.
Right.
So, my first instinct in seeing that was, oh, maybe he's back. But he's got incredible splits against lefties. 382 ISO against lefties. Good ISO against righties, 204, but I'm guessing that's probably really heavily front-loaded this season. So I think before we have any confidence in Todd Frazier rest of season, we need to see him do some stuff against righties.
Are you sitting Todd Frazier?
I would consider it, yeah.
Would you sit him for Solarte? Solarte's third base eligible, right?
Yes. My gut says no, but
I can't get on board sitting him at all unless we hear he's like injured or something.
He's been in a pretty protracted funk.
I know, but he's Todd Frazier. He's the fourth best third baseman in fantasy. Like
he's also Todd Frazier, horrible second half player, perhaps.
I'd rather go down with him than go down without him.
Well, I did go down with him in the podcast league, so I think that's partly why I'm thinking about this.
Yeah.
Also, excuse me, I also had Solarte in the lineup, too, so.
Yeah.
What about that?
Interesting. Kind of similar to Jay Happ is Joe Kelly, guys. About the same ownership, about half our leagues. And one run on 6 hits and 5 2/3 against the Blue Jays. Last 7 starts, Joe Kelly is 7-0 with a 1.85 ERA, 15 walks, 32 strikeouts, and 43 2/3 innings. So the strikeouts are not the same as Happ, but the results are pretty similar. What about Joe Kelly? Next week he has 1 start as of now. It's at Baltimore.
Yeah, there's no way I'm starting Joe Kelly with 1 start.
But is it possible he's taking the next step? Because this guy, obviously we know he throws extremely hard, and he's been throwing his off-speed pitches more. Is he just a better pitcher now?
No.
Yeah, I think he's the same pitcher he was with the Cardinals. And he had some, probably not a stretch this good, but I know he had some very good stretches with the Cardinals. But, you know, ultimately he's just a risky guy who allows too much contact for somebody who doesn't have great control.
There was a moment early this season where I thought maybe he was taking the next step when he was getting a bunch of strikeouts, but those have gone away. So he's the same pitcher. He's just on a good run right now.
Carlos Martinez is not on a good run. Carlos Martinez is a 5.16 ERA in his last 8 starts. Drop, sit. What do you think?
Here's the thing, Adam. Because last time I was on, we talked extensively about pitchers, the effect approaching their previous high and surpassing it in innings can have on their performance.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos Martinez, his previous career high was about 120. He's at 165 now. You go back 45 innings, that's basically that whole 8-start stretch. So, A, I don't know why there's not more talk about him getting shut down, because 45 innings, a 45-inning increase is enormous. And B, I think the last 8-start show, he's not somebody you should be trusting. Period.
Yeah, just strikeouts.
I would not start Carlos Martinez, except maybe as a spark.
Yeah, you're only getting strikeouts for him, and it's disappointing, and you're right. He had his start skipped, but it has not worked. So that's Carlos Martinez. Now, the one thing I found interesting, though, is during that 8-start stretch, he's not giving up a lot of extra base hits, really. At least not a lot of home runs. Only 2 home runs. Opponents have a 131 ISO and a 414 BABIP. So, could that signal just some bad luck for Carlos Martinez?
It could. I haven't looked deep behind the BABIP to see, because, you know, sometimes, particularly over a short span, that could be the sign of just not being an effective pitcher. So,
like they're just hitting him hard now.
That he's wearing down.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's worth looking into.
All right. You know what else is worth looking into? We've been looking into it all year long. FanDuel. Look, Al's not playing in the podcast league anymore, but he still wants to play some fantasy baseball, so go to FanDuel.com, Al, and use our offer code CBSPOD, and for your first deposit, FanDuel matches it dollar for dollar up to $200, and that gets earned as you play. That is an awesome offer. FanDuel.com, CBSPOD is the offer code if you click on that microphone in the upper right-hand corner. FanDuel is great. You want to challenge your friend to FanDuel, you can do that with a small little league for low stakes. Or you can play in big tournaments with a lot of people and try to win a lot of money. FanDuel pays out more money than any other fantasy site, daily fantasy site. They are the leader in 1 week fantasy baseball, and we love FanDuel. We play every day, and we used to have that tournament. That's now a football tournament, so you can compete against us, FanDuel.com/CBSPod. But we're still playing daily fantasy baseball. We're still loving it. I still check it all the time. Colin McHugh let me down a little bit yesterday, but he still got the win.
That was a bad call by me.
No, it was a good call. It was a bad performance by Colin McHugh.
No. That you have a process. You trust in the process, and I deviated from it.
What was the process?
The process is start the best pitcher, period. Don't get cute with it.
It never works, does it?
No, you know what, though? I'm going to defend you because DeGrom was, you know, a little bit shaky recently.
Yeah, yeah,
I think
he was.
That contributed to it.
I wouldn't have gotten cute if I didn't think there was good reasoning behind it. But I think the bigger reasoning, the better reasoning, just that DeGrom is the best pitcher, trumps any other reasoning.
I'm not so sure he was the best pitcher last night. You know who else pitched last night?
Well,
Steven Strasburg.
Right.
I thought you were going to say Vidal Nuno.
He's like the apple of my eye, Steven Strasburg.
I'm he's, like, yeah. He's, you know, he doesn't even know you, Adam. You don't have to be so loyal to him.
He's really good. All right. Next segment is called Do These Guys Matter? And they're all owned in less than 10% of leagues. And they are Scott Schebler for the Dodgers. Does he matter?
Probably not. Sort of an intriguing skill set there. Some big power in Double A that strangely didn't really translate to the Pacific Coast League, but with every time somebody new is introduced to the mix of the Dodgers, whether it's the infield or the outfield, it's hard to know if they could stick, and I suspect that Schebler won't.
Okay, how about Trace Thompson for the White Sox?
I'm going to say no, except maybe in like an AL-only scenario, because he only plays, well, I guess that's changed the last couple days, but
right.
Pretty much only plays against left-handers.
Right, he did homer off a righty yesterday. Tomlin's a righty, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I brought him up.
But everybody homers off Tomlin. Come on.
Vidal Nuno, 4% owned. Does he matter?
I'm going to say probably not, in part because there's still a chance he's out once James Paxton comes back, and that was the plan before this start. So obviously one hit, 10 Ks may change it, but something to keep in mind. But I have always kind of liked him. You look at what he did when he joined the Diamondbacks rotation last year, and it was low whip, respectable strikeout rate, kind of Tomlin-like in that he gets burned by home runs, but in a big part in Seattle. I know, Al, you've been searching for the next Chris Young, referring to the year he had last year with Seattle, right. Fly ball pitcher in a big park that just kind of negates that shortcoming. It could be him.
It could be. That's an interesting comparison. I've made in my own head the Tomlin comparison.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, next week he's got the two starts at home against the Angels. Yeah, I love that.
If he gets any starts.
Yeah, if he gets any starts, right, yeah. Good point. But if he does get the second one at Texas, I think that could spoil his week. So with the risk of him not even staying in the rotation, there's some upside in Seattle for him, but probably not going to see him realize it now.
Okay, Vidal Nuno. And now J.P. Arencibia, another home run. That's four in his last seven games for the Rays. J.P. Arencibia, 7% owned.
Pretty sure we've seen this before, even with the high batting average for him. And he's just a streaky guy who I don't think is going to remain valuable for what's left of the season.
Some players returning to action yesterday. Matt Adams is back. Any interest in Matt Adams?
Not at all. He's going to be pinch hitting for the foreseeable future. And I suppose Brandon Moss, speaking of streaky players, if he goes in the tank, maybe that opens up some opportunities for Adams, but that's pretty speculative.
Billy Hamilton went 0-for-4 with a walk and three strikeouts. He batted leadoff though for the Pirates, which is against the Pirates for the Reds. That could be nice for Billy Hamilton. And Kyle Schwarber returned. He went 0-for-4 with four strikeouts at St. Louis. Last 28 days, here are some of the trends. Guess who's the number one hitter in fantasy?
I'm going to say Yonis Cespedes. Because I can read the notes.
Yeah.
He spoiled it for everybody.
It is Yoenis Cespedes. How about his September? He has an OPS over 1,500. He's 16 for 37 with six home runs. 29 years old, but will be 30 soon. Cespedes with the Mets has an OPS over 1,000 in 36 games and 14 homers. Unbelievable. I think it'd be silly to make him the NL MVP, although I guess there is some support for that. But, wow.
I could understand it a little more if there wasn't a runaway like Bryce Harper.
Yeah. I don't care about record or anything. But Cespedes, he is just on fire, and he's having a really nice year, guys. What do you have to say about
Cespedes?
He's
on fire. He had a big game. He still got out-homered by Bryce Harper yesterday.
Yeah, this is like the Kershaw-Greinke argument.
No, not exactly, because look, if Cespedes had spent the whole year, and you know, there's also that aspect. To me, there a clear precedent was set in, I think it was 2007, maybe 2008. CC Sabathia got traded from the Indians to the Brewers, and that's the reason the Brewers made the playoffs. And he was clearly the best pitcher in baseball that year, but he was not the NL Cy Young because he was not in the NL for very long. And I'm not saying Cespedes deserves to be MVP just on the total merits anyway, but I think it's not even really a discussion as much as his acquisition has meant for Mets fans and the Mets as a team.
Yeah, I still think you give the award to somebody who's, you know, gotten hot at a critical time. You know, that's been one of the things that I've heard about Cespedes is he does better in higher leverage situations. I have no idea if that's true or not, but it'd be interesting if the Mets, you know, wrap this up pretty soon to see what he does over the last couple weeks.
All right. Jackie Bradley Jr. is the number 6 hitter in points, number 2 in Roto.
Last 28 days.
Yeah, last 28 days.
In case people forgot the subheading there.
Travis d'Arnaud is the number 1 catcher, 307, 6 home runs, 19 RBI, 11 walks, 15 strikeouts, and 7 doubles. Travis d'Arnaud.
Man, he's kind of gotten lost in the shuffle, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, yeah, weird because there's a lot of catchers who have really disappointed this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sort of odd that a guy who seemed to be on the brink of a breakout hasn't gotten more attention.
I think our preseason breakout list, d'Arnaud and Nolan Arenado were the only 2 crossovers, right? Did you have Machado on yours also?
I did not. So, yeah, those were the only 2.
I think those were the only 2.
And
so, good for us. Yeah.
Good for you on Manny Machado. And I was dumb to not include him.
Martin Prado is the 5th best second baseman in points leagues, 3rd best second baseman in roto leagues. That's Martin Prado of the Marlins. How about that?
Yeah. He is now, with that 28 days behind him, he's having a Martin Prado-y kind of season, which is, you know, worth something in a fringy way.
Is he okay? Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, what kind of league would you be looking to pick up Martin Prado, the powerless Martin Prado?
A league where Yonhervis Solarte is already owned.
Who do you like better?
Yonhervis Solarte.
Well, okay, yeah, I guess I understand your I interpreted that improperly. All right, Matt Carpenter is not a top 24 third baseman, which really shocked me.
That, me too. I always feel like I'm a step behind the hot and the cold streaks with him.
It's been bad batting average for a long time.
Yeah.
But that incredible hot streak, with the home runs. And he's got 20 or 21 this year, right?
21. Which is, his previous high was 11 in that near MVP season. So.
And yeah, if somebody had told you early in the season Matt Carpenter's going to have 21 home runs this year, and you're probably going to be disappointed.
Yeah,
in the overall production. That's pretty crazy.
Well, he is a top 10 third baseman overall. But yeah, it's just, so let's see what he's done in the last 28 days. 235 with 4 home runs and 12 RBI. I mean, just can't sit the guy. Like, anything to say about Carpenter?
Not really. Yeah. I wish we had a better idea who he is at this stage of his career, because 29, there's not much more of his prime left. So he's going to be hard to approach in fantasy next year, particularly Roto, because you don't really know what categories he helps.
And some shortstops to look at over the last 28 days. Francisco Lindor is number 1 in both formats. Jung Ho Kang, even with the grand slam yesterday, kind of surprised to see him just outside the top 12. And Jed Jerko, 6th in points, 4th in Roto. He homered again yesterday. Jerko's 22% owned.
I was going to just say about Kang that that's not surprising to me, because there was a stretch where he wasn't playing that much.
I was going to say the exact same thing, but that's changed.
Yeah.
But a side effect of Aramis Ramirez moving to first base is Kang taking over at third every day. I don't know why they're prioritizing Mercer's bat over Pedro Alvarez's. Alvarez is healthy, right? I didn't miss an injury or anything, did I?
As far as I know.
I believe he is healthy, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why that's the case, but Gong's in, so that's a net win, I think, in fantasy.
And as far as Lindor goes, I mean, the power is really a surprising development. I mean, really the whole offensive game is a huge surprise to me. And I'm really getting intrigued by it. Now, if you look at his average fly ball distance, it's very unimpressive, 260 feet, which is very low. But he doesn't really pull the ball much. So, you know, I can start to buy into the batting average And it seems like almost every time he has pulled is when he homers. I think it's 9 home runs for Lindor. All of them have been pulled.
And we haven't even talked about Jerko.
And Jerko's the one I featured in Waiver Wire, the Waiver Wire column this morning. He's the everyday shortstop that, and he's hitting 4 home runs in his last 7 games. And, I think it's interesting for him. We think of him as this all or nothing type player because the relation of the batting average and home run seems to fit that mold, but he strikes out not even every 4th at bat, which is not, by today's standards, that's not an all or nothing player. That's a guy who should probably hit for higher batting average than he does, and his BABIP has been consistently low, so. I don't think we should have written him off, and I think he's back to being a serviceable mixed league starter.
Yeah, Jerko and Jackie Bradley are going to be conundrums going into next year.
Conundra.
Really?
I
don't know if that's
true,
but I'm adopting that.
I think any word noun that ends in UM, the plural, should be A, so like Stadia.
Stadia.
Like yeah. Data.
There you go. Well,
yeah.
Who talks about datum? That's weird.
Nobody does, but
curriculum
should. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. 3 up, 3 down, 2 down. 3 up. Number 1 is Mookie Betts, who's on a 15-game hitting streak. He's a top 20 outfielder, 15th in points, 20th in Roto. That includes a DL stint and a horrible, horrible start to the season. And honestly, this guy's just incredible. I just wanted to say that about Mookie Betts. He looks like a star. I mean,
yeah.
Where would you take Mookie Betts next year?
Gosh.
Top 12 outfielder, probably. I think that's what I have him ranked as rest of this year. Definitely top 15, maybe top 12.
Betts or Braun?
Braun.
Yeah, Braun.
Chris Colabello, last 4 games, 7-for-13 with a home run, 4 RBI, and 2 doubles. Is Colabello becoming relevant again? He's 40% owned.
Yeah, I mean, he's never really cooled off the way that I expected him to, but it's the playing time he's not been able to maintain consistently. So, I think that's going to limit his value rest of season.
Who's excited for Yankees Blue Jays?
You are.
If I were more confident, maybe. Both teams got their aces going tonight. You know who that is?
Who is the Yankees ace?
It's Severino.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yep, Severino Price.
That's right. That's right.
That's not...
That should be a great matchup.
It should be. At least
you
for 6
innings. You'd take Tanaka over Severino in this game.
I don't know if I would.
You would.
The question is, if they are a wild card team, they're obviously going to go with Tanaka over Severino. But
yes.
I don't know that they should.
I think they should.
Hector Olivera is 38% owned, 3-for-5 with a walk and a strikeout yesterday. And Olivera is batting .286 with 2 extra base hits in 8 games, 7 starts. Just a little...
So impressed.
Yeah, take an inventory here on Hector Olivera. Scott is blown away.
I'm really not. That was sarcasm in case it wasn't clear.
It was clear.
Yeah.
Could be worse.
Of course it could be worse. And it's really a nothing sample size, and really it's nothing he does this year should... I mean, I guess if he was awesome to end the year, it would sway my opinion for next year, but his season has been so interrupted by injury after not playing for a long time before that I don't think we can get an accurate read on him right now. Anyway.
All right. Then here's 2 down. Jacoby Ellsbury and Adrian Gonzalez. Ellsbury is extremely cold. 4 for his last 29 with no extra base hits, 1 steal. And Adrian Gonzalez is sort of cold. .264, .354 on base, which is good. .438 slugging, which isn't so good since the All-Star break. But I don't know. Ellsbury and Gonzalez, are either of these guys players you'd consider sitting?
Because I recently did a blog post on studs that you could consider sitting. I did think about it with him, and ultimately it just didn't stack up. Like you say, he's still getting on base. The power hasn't, you know, completely dissipated. It's disappointing, but, we've seen him, certainly turn around on a dime before, so I don't think you can sit him. Ellsbury, on the other hand, I definitely think that you could in a three outfielder league.
All right, rotation time. James Shields. We just go through these names here. I don't want to spoil Chris's thunder for tomorrow, since I know you're going to go through the two-star pitchers, but James Shields.
That was Chris's thunder. If that wasn't clear, it may have just sounded like I was clearing my throat.
That is what I thought.
Yeah, that wasn't clear. Yeah,
It was kind of that thunder that doesn't, like, shake the house, but just kind of...
off in the distance.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
So James Shields, you know, he's got a 390 ERA. What else can you say at this point? He's either one start at Arizona or two starts at Arizona and at Colorado. So you're probably hoping for a one-start week. But would you start James Shields next week?
I don't think I would. You know, even if you go into the weekend with uncertainty about what the schedule is for him, I mean, if it's one start, he's probably not giving me enough in that one start to justify it. It's not a, you know, certainly not a slam dunk. And then if there's the chance he pitches at Coors, you want nothing to do with that.
We talked to Julio Teheran. How about Colin McHugh after a really, really good stretch? Colin McHugh is going to get Texas on the road and Oakland at home, trying to bounce back from a bad start. Start or sit Colin McHugh next week?
I'd start him, no question.
Jake Odorizzi has been interesting. Really good one yesterday at Detroit. The Yankees in Baltimore on the schedule next week.
Are those home for him?
Yes.
Yeah, start him.
Yeah, big park, extreme flyball pitcher. But it hasn't given up a lot of home runs this year.
And, very, and less extreme this year, case. Too. So
yeah,
fewer Ks, that's been the trade-off. But yeah, he's... I don't always trust him on the road, which is why I asked, but I feel really good about him with the two home starts.
I don't always trust Jake Odorizzi, but when I do, I prefer home starts. Carlos Martinez, we talked about him as well. Did anybody just get my whole most interesting man in the world? Okay.
What was I saying? The most interesting man in the world.
Yes. Yes. Okay, good. I'm glad people got that. Not that it was hard. Fringy star. Oh! I forgot. Scott.
Yes.
I watched a movie on Monday. And I think you said it's your favorite movie ever.
The Prestige?
I did watch The Prestige for the first time.
Wow. What'd you think?
I liked it. I thought it was a little overrated.
Aw, come on.
I don't want to say... I have questions, but I don't want to ask them on the air because... Okay. Not a lot of people.
We'll talk about it afterward.
Yeah.
It's a movie that. Yeah.
It's not favorite movie worthy. There's just no way that could be someone's favorite movie.
It's no Ghostbusters 2, is what you're saying?
It's not.
It's mind blowing, Adam. I don't know.
Speaking of Ghostbusters movies that you love, I figured you'd be really excited about Ariel Pena's debut last night.
Oh, because of The Little Mermaid?
Yeah.
You know what, Al? That kind of trash talk is reserved for the football podcast. Okay, I
didn't know that was trash talk. I thought you just genuinely liked the movie.
I do genuinely like it, but that's not something I should be admitting to.
Oh, too late now.
It's a really good movie.
You start to, when The Prestige is one of those movies when it's over and you start to piece together everything that happens, knowing what you know at the end. It's just, it's mind blowing.
It's good. It's just
you're kind of creeped out.
It's not fun enough to be someone's favorite movie. It's a little long and slow.
Oh, it's not slow. Come on. I was on the edge of my seat the whole time.
Well,
every time
I was comfortably sitting toward the back of the couch, not quite as enthused as you were. All right, fringy starting pitchers. Ubaldo Jimenez. You gonna trust him next week?
No, or the week after that.
Josh Tomlin, Kansas City and the White Sox at home next week.
No. Too much implosion potential anytime. And, I would think he's probably got some pretty bad career home splits. I'll look into that.
Chris Medlin at the Cleveland Indians next week.
I'm not ready to, I mean, this two strikeout and six inning performance was his best start so far and wasn't that good. So no.
All right. No Medlin. Tom Kohler. Very good start for him against Milwaukee. He's got a 2.97 ERA at home. He has two starts next week. Unfortunately for Kohler, they're both on the road. Starter sit Kohler.
I think you just answered that question.
Sit him.
By the way, I haven't even gone to the career splits for Tomlin yet, which I imagine are going to be worse. But just this season, okay, it's only 13 innings, but a 5.51 slugging allowed at home this year and a 4.15 ERA, which doesn't mean much in 13 innings for Tomlin.
Okay, so then don't start him because that could be bad. And in
he's
the bullpen,
57% owned. You know that, Tomlin?
Yeah, man, I know.
At a time when nobody's paying attention, somehow he's gotten to be 57% owned. Warning, warning, stay away. You're going to get burned if you rely on this guy.
Bullpen news, Gene Machi pitched in relief again in middle relief.
Yeah.
And Kevin Jepsen got another save, and he's 39% owned.
Jepsen salt.
It doesn't look like, yeah, Glenn Perkins could use
that's
some
a welcome break from the Carly Mae Jepsen puns.
Yes. We're killing it today, guys. We're just knocking them out of the park. We'll read some emails, and then we'll do some FanDuel. This one's from Adam. Playoffs start next week, 10 categories league. Is Prince Fielder droppable? I start Goldschmidt at first base. I have plenty of good flex options. Flex options.
Flex options. What sport are you playing?
Is Prince Fielder...
sport leagues?
Is Prince Fielder droppable in a PPR league?
Yeah, he's not much of a target.
Number 84.
Well, no, but seriously, I mean, in this type of league, you got...
Seriously.
Goldschmidt and...
No.
He's not?
If for no other reason, you don't want somebody else to play him against you.
Right.
And just handing the enemy this studly do-right.
Okay.
First baseman.
Next email is from Ian in the city of brotherly love. Dear Selig, Norris, and Weiser.
Buds.
Mm-hmm. 10-team head-to-head league. I have the little asterisk next to my team. It's good, right?
Yeah.
Going into... All right, whatever. AJ Burnett's coming back from the DL. I'm not sure who to drop when he's reactivated. Do I drop? Yeah. Iglesias, Severino, Rodon, or Mats?
Yeah, Burnett.
Yeah, Burnett. Adam in the bottom left corner of the country.
San Diego.
San Diego.
What if it's Hawaii? What if it's like a trick question?
That's not really a corner then, right?
Yeah, I guess not. Okay, well, here's the question from Adam in San Diego. I have a bye this week, 10-team head-to-head daily league, but before my matchup next week, I have to drop two of the following for pitching. So drop two. It's not going to be easy. Odor. Ugh. Rendon. Mm. Carlos Gomez.
Ew.
George Springer. Prince Fielder. And oof. Adrian Beltre.
Hmm.
Yikes. All right, well, Gomez is gone.
Mm-hmm. Even though he's been a little better lately.
Oh, yeah. No, this is just process elimination.
Has Springer been playing every day since he got back?
I think he has. I don't think he's really done a lot.
No, he hasn't done much.
He only sat once.
Yeah, he's barely been back though. Give him a little time.
Yeah.
Beltre.
Yeah, probably Beltre, yeah.
Hmm.
I don't really want to drop
Beltre.
I was
kind of thinking Rendon.
But... Yeah, I think I'd rather have been Rendon than
Beltre. Beltre's been good.
No, oh, yeah.
Been better than his overall. I mean, better since he came back from whatever he came back from. Yeah, I don't like it.
Tyler from Iowa. Brandon Crawford, unreliable. Which of these shortstops do you like best to replace him? Jerko, Gong, or Escobar? I need average runs and RBIs.
Gong.
And Reggie in Charlotte, our good friend Reggie, says, let's go Mets. Is Logan Verrett worth picking up for his home start versus the Marlins and Nicolino?
Deeper league, absolutely, and maybe even as a SPARP. Oh, except, well, yeah, it doesn't matter if he's starting eligible. He is definitely relief eligible.
Okay.
I would at least consider him as a SPARP option, if it's that sort of league and that's your sort of thing.
Cool. And is Zach Wheeler on schedule for 2016?
As far as I know.
Not the heaviest of slates tonight for your FanDuel lineups. You guys, hopefully, I know Al, you have a lineup, right?
I have a lineup, and it may need some fixing. But the strategy was you have to go with Arrieta, who's the most expensive pitcher at 12,002, but totally worth it against the Phillies and Adam Morgan. Who, thanks to you, Adam, I almost just called Adams Morgan. and then, there wasn't really great stacking options, but if there's a pitcher to pick on. It is Morgan. So I decided I was just going to build my lineup around Arrieta, Rizzo, and Fowler, that I had to have those three guys. And of course, none of them is cheap. So, I went Gomes at catcher, Neil Walker, at 2,300 against, Willie Peralta, Hector Oliveira, against Bartolo Colon, Johnny Peralta, at Cincinnati against John Lamb. I like that matchup for him. And then I also went Brandon Moss, and this is the one that might need fixing because if Wong were to go back in the lineup, I could see Moss maybe being the odd guy out with Carpenter going back to third, Reynolds going to first. But Moss at 2,400, he's not terrible against lefties. He actually has a higher OBP against lefties than righties and hits for decent power against lefties. So Moss could be a sneaky play if he's actually in the lineup. And then with the 3,400 I got left, I spent on Starling Marte.
Okay. And the Pirates, who the Pirates have tonight?
And they've got the Brewers with Willie Peralta.
Yeah, Willie Peralta's on the mound. Alfredo Simon's on the mound. He's facing Cleveland. I know you have Yan Gomes in your lineup. I like Jason Kipnis for 3,000. That's a pretty good price for him.
Yeah, there are very few pitchers to pick on here.
You know,
Sloan's been so good, you can't pick on him.
And who's starting for Cincinnati?
John Lamb, who I actually kind of like as a contrarian tournament play at starting pitcher himself. So I'm not saying you can't start any Cardinals against him in a normal lineup, but Lamb's not, I don't think he's bad.
Oh, say it the right way.
Bad.
Okay, look, if you just need to save money, Todd Frazier is 2,200 and Josh Harrison is 2,200 if he's in the lineup. So you can always check the lineup there. I'll probably put Harrison in, and if he's out, I'll put Todd Frazier in. But I'm not going to give advice because I haven't. It's just a disservice to you people out there if I'm just going to do it on the fly. And I, unfortunately, with the Fantasy Football Podcast in full swing, I haven't had time to research this as thoroughly as I like. So I'm just going to leave it to you guys.
Well, I like the Todd Frazier play, actually. Jaime Garcia is not a pitcher I like to pick on, but he's a left-hander, and I'll just point it out.
Yeah.
The lefty splits for Frazier.
That's a good
point.
He
just homered yesterday. It's 2,200. It's never going to be cheaper than that. Nobody's ever cheaper than that.
No, that's the cheapest in FanDuel.
And yeah. If Moss is out of the Cardinals lineup, I probably will start Frazier over Oliveira, just so I get a little extra money to fill that outfield spot.
What do you guys think about going Jaime Garcia?
I think not quite enough upside to be a cash play and not sneaky enough to be a tournament play.
The price difference just isn't big enough.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, if you're going to go a $9,000 range pitcher, I feel like Salazar for only 300 more is the better call.
Sure. All right, then. That will do it for us here on Fantasy Baseball Today. Thanks so much for listening. Chris Towers, Al Melchior, Scott White will rock your world tomorrow and help you set your lineup for the upcoming week in fantasy. Alan Scott, great job as always.
Same to you.
Yes, and always a pleasure, Adam.
Adios.